The core of the one is what I might call our sense of goodness, our fundamental goodness, that in any moment of real awakeness, if you look in the eyes of another human being, for all the suffering or fear that we might experience, you recognize something magnificent in yourself and in that person. You see this goodness, this wish to grow up. It's the part of us that our soul kind of knows we're here to mature into something, to fulfill something, to step into something. We don't know how to do it, but we know that when that's in the neighborhood, we respond, right? That goodness. I've also discussed it with and explored it as it's the sense of dignity, a fundamental human dignity. You can see the poorest, most wretched, from one point of view, folks on the planet. And if you really see them, there is a breathtaking dignity in those souls. Do you know what I'm talking about? So this very sacred place of the one just wants with all of our, every fiber of our being to be that, to be in alignment with that, to live that. That goodness, that dignity, to invite others to that, right? That fundamental dignity. You know, there's all this language in the Bible about people being anointed, of the blessings of the Father, the benediction, right? It's that part of us that wants that benediction, right? And it's a part of us that feels blessed, anointed, with something that is beyond us and yet we're partaking of. Does this make sense? So ones, that's the core of who I am. That's what I'm here to be. That's what I'm here to reflect. I have all these other qualities like the other types, but that's my special mission of my soul, to show the world what that is, to show that face of God. Now, think of losing that. Oh my goodness, how painful. Breaks your heart if you let it touch you even a little bit. To lose the sense of my goodness, the sense of being blessed, the sense of dignity. And you see, when we lose these things, it's not just ourselves. The world appears to lose it too. The world feels stripped of its goodness, stripped of its dignity, stripped of its blessedness. So guess what we want with all our heart if we're little ones? We want to bring that back. We don't know how, but by God, we're going to, every fiber of our being, we want to find out how to bring back that goodness, bring back that dignity, bring back this alignment with truth and reality. And it's all we care about. Of course, detached from presence as we become, we get a few confused notions about how to do that. But no one can fault what we want in our hearts. It's with all the types. Isn't that a lot kinder way to think of yourself? So if I'm a one, I fall away from that, and I feel like this is the most important thing, to restore this sense of goodness, dignity, alignment with the divine truth. But my ego doesn't know how to do it. And it sure as heck seems from here that other people don't seem to care very much about this like I do. And therein lies the birth of the passion. The root of it is just the fundamental loss of this. The sense of losing that goodness, it's so painful. It's very close. I think the story of Adam and Eve being expelled from the garden for a sin that they didn't completely understand is very much speaking to this part of the human soul. The sense of like being cast out of paradise because I screwed up. How can I ever make up for this? How can I ever restore myself? Well, you know, we all know a lot of religion is trying to think of how the ego is going to be good enough to get back into heaven. Right? The ego can never do it. As we know, it's an act of grace that saves us. And so it's like turning to that. Humility is a big part of the one. But to just say a little bit more, that the one's passion is traditionally called anger. But I think that's a little too broad. And I don't think anger in itself is a passion. You know, Jesus got angry. You wouldn't want to have been there when he ran into those moneylenders in the temple, right? And there is sometimes such a thing as righteous anger. I don't think anger is a sin. It's sometimes a very natural response to injustice and things that are violating of a soul. But what is the passion is kind of anger that we never let go of, that we chew on, that we keep simmering all the time. This state of frustration, annoyance, that exasperation. By God, can't we ever get this right? What the hell is wrong with us? What the hell is wrong with me? Right, that, you know, you just feel it. And it's, where is this, in your head? Where is it? It's right here in the belly. And it's like the belly gets squished. It's like I'm squeezing it like a tube of toothpaste, just trying to keep this messy stuff under control. Because the ego thinks that it's got to restore the goodness. And the only way it knows how to do it is the way it knows how to do it. Through what Freud called the superego, you could call the inner critic. The inner critic steps and says, "Don't worry, I'll save the day. I've got all the answers you need. And here's how you're going to be good. Don't listen to that inner voice. I've got what you need. And by the way, if you disobey me, fiery hell awaits you." Right? I'll show you a little taste of it right now. Huh? Aren't we funny? We're such weird creatures, aren't we? Good heavens. Well, needless to say, that passion can make me pretty miserable. And it's especially ironic here because it feels like the more I'm striving for that goodness, the more it seems to recede. It's like the bar keeps getting higher and I'm never going to be good enough for that inner critic. So what has to happen here is to come back to this real goodness and alignedness. The one has to let go of the one thing that we always have to let go of the thing. We have to see through the thing we don't want to see through, the thing we're afraid to confront or to let go. Here, it's certitude. I one time was I participated many years in the Ridwan school of A.H. Almas. We do these practices called repeating questions, and some of you have been with us in our programs and done repeating questions, but we had one once, 15 minutes each. Tell me something you used to be sure about. It was amazing how many things came. You just keep getting asked that question, right? Hint, 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 right? So it's like, as we start to sort of reconnect with our natural curiosity, and that openness of heart and mind, and are willing to find out how we might be mistaken about some things. Actually, a pretty good chance of it, right? It sort of restores this sense of wonder in the one that I think is never far from a one's heart. I love getting into that with ones. It just, when they get into that sense of wonder and exploration, it's like the best of them comes out. And in that, suddenly it starts to restore that sense of goodness in me and in the world. The sense of wonder kind of brings back that sense of goodness and dignity and seeing it. And suddenly almost it sneaks up on you. You're sitting there just talking about something interesting with your friend and suddenly you see them. You see you and you know that it's good and it doesn't need fixing. Certainly not for my ego. Does it make sense? And man, that's the best. And then at their best, it's like I am in touch with that dignity, goodness, and I'm seeing that in you, in the goodness and dignity and blessedness in me is addressing that in you and seeing that in you. And that's when we all just will follow once to the end of the earth because we know they're reminding us of what we love. And they inspire us with that vision, holding the purity of that, that we all want. We don't have to settle for less than that. So the virtue that gets cultivated is serenity. Any 12-steppers or people been around those, remember the little prayer you learn? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Serenity could sound kind of passive. Well, believe me, it's not. Serenity is the very state of the heart that lets me be of service, that lets me show up in the face of difficulty, conflict, suffering, and see what's actually needed. When I'm reacting in outrage to things, I don't always see what will be most helpful, what will most create and open things to the good. Serenity is not trying to transcend the difficulty or the different feelings we have. It's a non-reactive heart. I know that goodness in me, and I know that goodness is in you. I don't have to react to you. I don't have to react to the world. And instead, this magnificent, pure wisdom of right action, of seeing just what's needed, starts to manifest. And that's my gift to the world, and help other people find that in them. Again, that's worth getting out of bed in the morning, huh? You like this? Price of admission is staying present, no matter what, with our hearts open to being affected and our minds willing to let go of all that stuff we're sure of, so that a deeper wisdom, love, presence begins to live us.